I don't know why I'm about to share with you, but the Lord put this on my heart, and I always pray to be obedient. Is that okay? It was well over probably 20 years ago. I was invited to speak for a convocation or chapel at Baylor University. And I'll never forget, I was sitting there, and I don't know if it's like that now, but the students did not want to be there, so they protested in a quiet way, but they definitely protested. I'm not exaggerating to say if there were 500 students, maybe 1,000, I don't know how many students, probably 90% of them, I was sitting there waiting, 90% of them are either in their book like this, taking notes. Several have books like this. And one guy in the front, very front, had one of the, you remember newspapers? You remember that? You remember? And literally he had his newspaper like this. You couldn't even see his face. They didn't want to be there, so they officially protested. So when I got up, at least 90% of the faces are not looking at me. They're either down or covered. And I was just praying, okay, God, and this is I don't remember exactly what I said, but I started off with something like this. I want you to know that this university is built on a lie, because Christianity is false. Jesus was never the Son of God, and there was no resurrection because Jesus was never crucified on the cross. As a matter of fact, his apostles corrupted his word and made this prophet to be the Son of God. So God, to straighten things out, finally sent his final prophet, Muhammad, peace be upon him, who gave him the final word of God that is infallible, the Quran. So Allah is one, God is one, and he had no son. Now about then, while I'm speaking, I'm not exaggerating, people are like this, heads started coming up, books started coming down, but the guy right up front, just like this, had that big old newspaper. And I could tell Dr. Cunningham, they were about to get a hook and pull me off the... And just before he got up, that last newspaper came down. And I looked straight at him and I said, and that's what I used to believe, and let me tell you what happened. And then I went into my story. I'm not going to share my story this evening, or this morning, where it's resurrection, but I may be coming back in July, I think, where you'll get to hear more. But FPBC, is that possible? How can you have a message on FPBC? Look at John chapter 20. And we were going to go through 20 and 21, and it's been a beautiful service so far, yes? Ralph, thank you for the worship. Give the worship team another hand. That was really awesome. I will say there is a Houston Baptist University HBU representation here in this campus. How many here from HBU, been to HBU, graduated from HBU? Look at God is good, amen? So we've heard that Jesus is risen, and he truly is risen from the dead, and everything that we do now is based on that alone. If there's no resurrection, I'm not here. Actually, this church isn't here. And I was going to go through that, but let's jump all the way down, because I know my four-year-old's excited about the Easter egg hunt. But we're going to go all the way down to verse 19 of chapter 20. And we're not going to get into 21. That Sunday evening, I happen to be reading from the New Living Translation. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus standing there among them, "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven." And a better translation than the rest of it, "If you retain anyone's sins, they are retained." Verse 24. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, the twin, Didymus, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers in them, and place my hand into the wound in his side. 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into my wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. That's a wonderful passage, amen. And it's when Jesus first appears to his disciples. He'd already appeared to Mary and a couple other women, and he revealed himself. They're the ones that proclaimed he's risen. So where do you get PBBC from out of this message? Now, I wasn't planning on this, but I was just reading, and it just kind of jumped out at me. So what did I say? PBBC? It's FPBC, right? Well, you guys need to change your name. That's all it says. Because what's the first word Jesus said when he appeared to his disciples? What is it? Peace. Do you think peace is important? Now, these are out of order, but that's what the P is for, peace. Now, I want you to see something. There's nothing like peace. Great is the peace of my children, the taught of the Lord. You know, the Lord says he'll keep in perfect peace the one whose mind has stayed on him. And I've learned something about peace. How can Stephen, in the midst of being martyred and stoned to death, have such peace? There's something about the presence of God that brings the peace of God. There's been three opportunities, one in particular, where it looked like I was going to actually be stoned in the Middle East. And I'm going to share something with you. The peace of God so overcame me that no one ended up touching me because God wasn't done with me. And yet, isn't it interesting in Romans, it says that it's the God of peace that crushes Satan underneath your feet? Let me share something. When you walk in the peace of God, Satan cannot hinder the work that God wants to do through you. And when you walk in the peace of God, you can walk in the middle of a storm, a middle of a trial, whatever the anxiety, fear. When you enter into that environment and you walk in the peace of God, something happens to the people around you. And they are drawn to one who walks in peace. So I'm going to ask you a question. Do you have peace? Does the peace of God actually guard your heart and your mind? It's a promise as we pray with thanksgiving that God's peace, the peace of Christ, will guard our heart and our mind. So I want to ask you a question. Are you walking in peace? If you don't have peace, it's an entrance for the enemy to come into your life. Now, I'm going to share more about that. I'm going to give you all the letters, okay? And then we'll get into a message. Is that okay? So he says, peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds of his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus came in here and he says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. What does that mean? What does that look like? This is the resurrected King saying that as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. So how many of you are out there like Jesus? Do people taste and see the goodness of God through your life? And there's many aspects. Isn't it interesting? He breathes on them. He says to receive the Holy Spirit. And the next word he says is forgive. That's what the F is. Say forgive. Matter of fact, here it says, if you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you retain anyone's sins, they are retained. Let me share this. Forgiveness is probably the greatest force, watch this, in the negative. It's the greatest license for Satan.
Satan to keep strongholds in your life. It's actually like a demonic cancer. Because this forgiveness is what? First of all, because of Christ and the cross, we've already been forgiven. That's awesome news, amen? So let me ask you this question. Have you received the forgiveness of God? Because if you have, you can't do what he says next. Have you forgiven everyone in your life? Let me share this real fast. I'm not going to turn to it, but in Matthew 18, watch the power of forgiveness. King wants to settle accounts. And you've probably heard the message, so I'll share it quickly. He brings in a servant that basically owes him millions. He can't pay. He says, sell him. His wife and children throw him in the prison. And he begs and pleads for mercy. Please be patient. I'll pay all. The king has such mercy. He forgives him, cancels his debt, and sets him free. That's pretty miraculous, right? So here's this forgiven servant, totally set free. He goes out and finds a fellow servant who owes him, in proportion, a few dollars. He says, pay me what you owe me. Actually, the scripture says he was choking him and say, pay me what you owe me. He says, please be patient with me. I'll pay you all. He says no and has him thrown into debtor's prison. This forgiven one no longer forgives someone else. The word gets back to the king. He calls that first servant back in and he says, you wicked slave. Should you not have had mercy as I had mercy on you and forgiven him? Now, watch this. Now he comes back into bondage. It's not only that. Now he's put into prison with, it's the only time the Greek word uses, with tormentors. He'll be tormented the rest of his days. And the word, I'm going to read it to you because it's hard for me to believe what it says. Now listen to what Jesus says. He says, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. When you choose not to forgive, it really becomes a torturing demonic cancer in your life. And it actually, because here's the one that's set free, now he's in worse bondage than he has been. So let me share this. Because in a few minutes, the altar is going to be open. And maybe it was a parent or grandparent, a spouse, a son, a daughter, a mother, a father, a coach, a boss, an institution, a coach, a team. But many of us, a name comes up and we just cringe because of some injustice or unfairness they did to us. And for me, I struggled. I couldn't figure out what it was because the number one person for me to forgive was my own self. But I want you to know, Jesus paid an awesome price. And if you will, you don't have to have the feelings. If you will choose to let that go and forgive, you're about to experience the presence and the supernatural deliverance power of God in your life. I'll say it like this. Is there anything that's held you bound, an iniquity, an addiction, a stronghold, a thought pattern? Jesus wants you totally free. Listen, he's risen from the dead. He's come to give us life, abundant life. So do you have the peace of God? Are you walking in forgiveness? Let's keep reading. So that's F and P. You got it? Say forgiveness and peace. Verse 24. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, was not there. They told him, we've seen the Lord. He replied, I won't believe unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers in them, place my hand into it, the wound in his side. 8 days later, disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. Doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. And he said to Thomas, put your finger here, look at my hands. Put your hand into my wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. What's the next word? Believe. Say believe. My Lord and my God, Thomas explained. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen me yet believe. And then verse 30. Disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Say believe. Listen, all this is based on that word believe. So I want to ask you a question. Do you believe? Well, do you believe what? What did he want What did he want Thomas to believe? That he was risen from the dead, amen? That he's king, he's Lord of all. So I'm going to share a little illustration. I won't do the full version because I know I don't have that much time. But I've seen thousands of lives changed by this. So I want you to see, if you're believing, what happens. When I come back in June, I'll give you a little more explanation. Because in the beginning, there was God clothing glory, holy, and righteous. And God says, watch this. He says, let us create man in our own image, one after our likeness. Let me see who I'm going to eat. Pastor, why don't you come on up here? I need a color that's a good color. So just turn and look good. You do that all by yourself. So okay. Not too good. Okay, no. I have to preach. So from the dust of the earth, God formed a perfect specimen. Wouldn't you agree? Now you can give him a hand. And then he breathed, and man became a living being, a living soul. But I had my spiritual reasons. Why did God create man to begin with? But he showed me something. I happened to be ministering to Muslims in Africa. God created us. Do you know why? For this, for fellowship, for relationship. Really, God's a daddy, and he wanted a family. Now, he has plans for us, awesome plans. But I learned until we know our identity, we don't walk in our destiny. And so you know the story I'll share. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and they ate of that fruit, that day they died. Well, did they drop dead? Now, physically, that day, watch this, they died in their relationship with God. It was an immediate spiritual death. Because that disobedience became sin in the life of man. And sinful man could no longer have relationship with holy God. The scripture says all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Wages of sin is death. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Because of sin, not only are we dead to God, if we die like this, we're eternally separated from God in hell. But that is not why he created us. He created us for this love relationship, and God already had a plan because nothing takes God by surprise. Amen? And let me encourage you. Nothing about your life surprises God. He knows every hidden secret and every skeleton, every addiction, every struggle, your bondage, your lies, your deception, your unforgiveness, your bitterness, your resentment, your lust, your anger. God knows all about us, and he still passionately pursues us with his love. Now that's an amazing, merciful daddy, amen? And all through his word, he gives revelation for what he's about to do. I'll just choose one, because it's in relationship to Jesus in the Passover. The Passover lamb with Moses, you remember the story? So I'm going to jump all the way to the 10th plague. Remember the 10th plague? The death angel go into every home to kill the firstborn. But to separate God's people, they had to do something. They had to sacrifice a perfect lamb, eat. What did they have to do with the blood from that lamb? That's right. If these were the doors of their home, they had to put the blood on the sides and the top. And when the death angel came, if he saw the blood, the death angel would pass over. No blood. You know what's interesting? Do you know the death angel never looked inside the house? He never checked to see if they were Hebrew or Egyptian. He only looked for the blood. When I stand before God in eternity, he's not going to look at my background, nationality, family, home, church. He will not even look for my sin. When I stand before God, he will look for one thing, and that's the blood of the Lamb of God. What's his name? Jesus. Say it one more time. Amen. That brings me to my favorite part. Because it's the blood. Can you say the blood? But even before Jesus in the old covenant, God set up a sacrifice system, particularly on the Day of Atonement. What's interesting about sacrifices, you know when they brought sacrifices to the Lord? God examined the sacrifice. He didn't examine the people. That's good news for you and me, amen? And if God accepted the sacrifice, particularly on the Day of Atonement, he would allow that blood, at least for a season, to cover our sin. Why? Because now Daddy God can... Don't worry, Pastor, I won't do that again, but I want you to see... I want you to see God's a Father! Abba Daddy loves you so much! He paid an awesome price! He made a way in the old covenant to do this through sacrifice, but man had to continually sacrifice. And then God in His wisdom, about 2,000 years ago, what we celebrate this weekend, He sent the perfect sacrifice. He sent the Lamb of God. What's His name again? So watch, Jesus, the Son of God, comes as the Lamb of God. Crucified, dead, and buried. 3 days later, He's raised from the dead. Today, Resurrection Day, He's risen, eternal life, right? And God takes the blood of His Son, Jesus. And if you look at the Scripture, He does not cover our sin. Because Jesus, the Lamb of God, doesn't cover. Jesus, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world. Now watch. He wants us to be covered with His blood. And you read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 in particular, talking about Jesus, He who knew no sin actually became sin. But it doesn't stop there. He became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There was a divine exchange. The wages of sin is, that's why Jesus died. He took all our sin. Look at this carefully. Our sins have already been paid for. Look at it again. Actually, we've already been forgiven. All we have to do is receive. Yeah, that's right. Look at this picture. Eternal life, salvation, righteousness. God doesn't force it on us. Why? Because it's a gift. And a gift must always be received. He offers this gift to the whole world, but each one of us must receive this gift for ourselves. Mom, dad, pastor, preacher, church, teacher cannot receive this for me nor for you. I must choose and you must choose. So watch. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe God raised Him from the dead, and you choose, and that's the C, I'll just jump on ahead, say choose. When you choose to make Jesus your Lord, watch what happens. You receive eternal life. You receive salvation. You become the righteousness of God in Christ. You become a child of God. Now, Jesus became sin, but no sin in Him. So when He rose from the dead, hallelujah, amen, He overcame hell, sin, death, and the grave. Glory to God. He's the Lord of glory. And I love this. He sealed eternal life. And I'm going this because it was in all the songs we sung. Jesus said, nobody can snatch you from my hand. And He went on to say, nobody can snatch you from my Father's hand. And I do word pictures often. I have an American $20 bill. Anybody want it? Get a job. Anyway, watch this. Watch this. But if I was going to give it, would anybody be willing to take it? My family, my bride's hand, and my kids always go up first. So watch, I'm going to do something to it. Nobody will want it anymore. I'm just going to crumble it up. How many of y'all would still take that? Look, more hands always go up. Now I'm going to see how honest this church is. Be honest with me. I want every member honest. Watch this. If you walked out to the parking lot and saw that lying on the ground, how many of you would actually bend over, pick it up? Okay. 50% of your church tells the truth. But anyway. Simple and proud. This alone will change your life. The value never changed. You got to get this picture. When you receive this gift, you become a child of God. It's sealed because sometimes you still blow it. Can anybody relate? And sometimes to a point with such disgust and shame, maybe like me, you've heard these words, at least in your head. Loser, hypocrite, liar, failure, phony, you ain't saved. Anybody hear something like that ever? Watch this. In the eyes of God, not only does your value not change, you're still God's child. Listen, it's not based on what you do or don't do. It's based on who God is and what He's done for us. But when we truly understand this, and we blow and we sin, watch this, we're encouraged to repent, get back up, because God's not against us. He's a loving Father, passionately in love with us. The key is relationship, and then we'll pray. Watch. If I died before I knew this and somehow sit at the gate of heaven, and if God would have said, Salim, why should I let you in? I would have said, what would you say? This is what I would have said. God, I fast, I pray, I love, honor, obey my parents. No alcohol, no drugs, no cursing. And God, I'm pretty sure my good outweighs my bad. I should go to heaven. And God would have said, depart from me. I never knew you. Isn't that interesting? His focus is relationship. He doesn't say, I'm not good enough. I don't pray enough. You've been too weak. He says, I never knew you. What's He saying? You never received the gift of my Son where I could become your Father. Remember, Daddy God wanted a family. How does Jesus say it? Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So I want to ask you this question. Are you in relationship with Him? Oh, thank God you're at church. I'll say it like this. The C again. Choose. Have you chosen to receive this gift of salvation? Well, I've been baptized, dedicated, confirmed. That's great, but have you received this gift? I'm in church, I attend, I serve, my dad's a minister, beautiful. But have you received the gift of salvation? Have you made Jesus your Lord? Well, I've sinned pretty dark, deep and long, and some people don't know. Well, Jesus knows and He paid the price. Have you received His gift? Or you might say, like I say, that's not the way I was raised. I was raised Muslim, or Hindu, or Buddhist, or Jew, or atheist. Well, God knows how you were raised. He said the pure in heart would see Him. So have you received this gift of salvation? How does it start? How do you receive this gift of salvation? How do you begin this journey with the living God where you can walk in the peace and forgive others? How does it start? Romans 10, 9 and 10, you can remember with these two words, mouth and heart. Can you say mouth and heart? If I confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in my heart God raised Him from the dead, I believe in the resurrection, the Bible says that I would be saved. Well, what does saved mean? It means I receive the gift of salvation. How does it start? Confession, belief, total trust in Christ alone. And when you mean it from your heart, watch this, it's sealed. The moment you believe and pray, if you drop dead, you're going to heaven. That's good news, amen? I have more good news. It probably won't happen today. Is that okay? Why? Because listen, God has a plan for your life. Why are you still here? So what does God do? He now, by His Holy Spirit, comes to live inside of you. He actually calls you the temple of the living God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. He makes you a new creation from the inside out. He calls you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And if you choose, say, I choose. If you choose, you can grow in this intimate love relationship with God Himself through Jesus and His Word. And watch this. You can grow to know, love, and follow Him all the days of your life. And He'll allow you to be His witness to this world. That's why we're still here. But we got to choose. So let me ask you. Have you received this forgiveness and are you forgiving others? Are you walking in the peace of God? Do you really believe what Jesus has done and that He rose from the dead to seal what He did for us? And the last one, C, have you chosen to receive and walk in it and be His light to this world? Because all the Gospels talk about go and preach, go and make disciples, be His light. That's why we're still here, amen? Let's bow heads and pray as the worship team comes. We'll have it given an altar opportunity. Actually, as they're coming up, why don't you just pray this out loud in your own heart, but pray it out loud. I mean, it's a prayer to receive this gift of salvation, just to be sure you got it. It'll encourage the ones next to you. If you're say, Dear God, I know You created me for a love relationship with You. My sin separated us. But God, You love me so much. You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He's alive forevermore. And He's risen. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. And I make You the Lord of my life. God, You are now my heavenly Father. Jesus, You are now my Lord. And I am saved. Now, Lord Jesus, fill me with Your Spirit. Give me the power to believe, to forgive others, to walk in Your peace, and to make a difference in this world. As your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, y'all can start playing lightly. Let me ask you this question. I know we have a lot of believers here, but maybe this morning as we prayed, you actually received this gift of salvation. This is the greatest day of your life. If you did that this morning, and you're not ashamed to let me know, would you just slip your hand up? Okay, I see one hand. I see one for sure. If there's another hand, go ahead, wave it to me. Let me see. Okay, I see two hands. Three hands. Praise God. And there may be more. Okay, hands down. Hands down. Everybody look up this way. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. Praise God. Listen, Jesus said, if you're not ashamed of me in front of people, I won't be ashamed of you in front of my Father in heaven. And I know a lot of us want to get right. Maybe we need to forgive someone. I just sense that was really strong this morning. It may even be yourself. Or maybe you want to recommit, rededicate so you walk in the peace of God. And I'm going to give you that opportunity to come to the altar. But before I do, the first people that I would like to come forth, because listen, if you can do it here, you'll do it anywhere. And you're in a place of love. The angels in heaven are rejoicing for the decision that you made. So we're just going to rejoice with you. So if there were, I counted three hands and maybe more. If you received Christ this morning, you received that gift of salvation, and you're not ashamed to let us know, we want to celebrate with you. Would you boldly stand by your chair? Would you do that? We'll watch. Okay? Give you an opportunity. Praise God. Give them a hand. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. God is good. Amen. There may be more. Thank you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Okay, would y'all just come forward? I want to visit with you. And as the worship team prays, listen, if God spoke to your heart this morning, you need to recommit, rededicate, whatever the case may be. Forgive someone, amen. Walk in his peace. But that's between you and the Lord. So just come forth and let him seal the work he's been already begun. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Let's worship God. Why don't we stand and worship together? Give people an opportunity to slide out and slide out. Praise God. Father, thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. Lord, thank you for the love you have lavished on us, that you've made us your sons and your daughters. And Lord, I thank you for those that have chosen to believe, chosen to forgive, and chosen to walk in your peace. Lord, we still have breath because you're not done with us. You have called us for such a time as this to be your light and your salt to this world, to impact people for the kingdom of God and for eternity. Lord, may we walk in such intimacy with you that our love flows out to this world, that they will be drawn to this good God whose love never fails. Jesus, thank you for forgiving. Thank you for loving. Thank you for dying. And thank you for rising from the dead. Now, Lord Jesus, fill us with your Spirit and rise afresh and anew in us and through us, that this world may see the risen King. Lord, seal this in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen.